peace. It's a wonderful scripture, a wonderful reading in this book, peace. You know, when you're in strife and you're being drawn this way and you're being drawn that way, and you don't know if you did this right or if you did that wrong, and the Lord gives you peace. Just calm down and rest in me. Be at peace. You've done what you could do. Now that's a very calming and reassuring one. Poverty. That's a place where we put a flyer sheet in because poverty is on the left and prayer is on the right. So we separate him. When we get poverty, the Lord is telling us, you don't need that. Now, I'm not sure how it'll work with you when you get poverty, but when he gives us poverty, he's talking about keep it simple. Don't go off the deep end with something. That's just what he means for, you know, for us. I'm not sure how you would take it. And then prayer, of course, that's a call to prayer. When we get prayer, we try to stop what we're doing as quickly as we can and go straight to prayer. After prayer is pride. And that is such an ugly thing that I have a fly sheet between that and the last page of prayer. Pride is terrible. It's probably the worst thing in the world that I can get. You see a man wise in his own conceit, there's more hope of a fool than him. Yeah. Look on one that is proud, bring him low, and tread down the wicked in their place. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogance, and the evil way, and the froward mouth, do I hate. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes, prudent in their own sight. When he gives me this, I just buckle. I know that I have overstepped my bounds. I'm contending with God. I'm not receiving God's instruction or wisdom well at all. I'm rising up and contending with him in my own strength and my own wisdom. So that's a repentant scripture for me. Prisoners has to do with, there's times when, again, when there's a Simon's cross going on and we get prisoners, that means that we are contending for souls with offering our fast offerings and sufferings to the Lord because he's setting prisoners free. Captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contends with you, and your children I will save. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and broke their bands asunder. And prisoners, again, is about salvation, and the Lord taking the spoil from the evil ones and delivering people into the kingdom of righteousness. Let's see what else. God's protection is a wonderful one. I mean, yes, I know you're threatened. Yes, I know there's danger all around you. Yes, I know it looks really bad. I'm protecting you. I am protecting you. And I'll tell you where we've gotten this one. We've gotten God's protection when we've gotten a word from the Lord. Like one night Ezekiel asked the Lord, I'm concerned, Lord, that maybe Claire's personality is getting into these messages too much. And he went to the Lord about it using the Bible promises and oracle, bound a lying spirit, and he opened to God's protection. And what that told him is that the Lord is protecting that. He's watching over that so that won't happen. And that made me feel good too, because that's what I don't want. I don't ever want to be inserting myself into a message. Repentance. That is so important. When you get repentance, that means you've sinned and you need to look at it. Or someone else has sinned, you know, and you're helping them and you need to tell them to repent. Now, there's a fly sheet between repentance and righteousness because they're both on the same page, or, well, opposite each other. Righteousness. That's a beautiful one. When there's a situation where you've got many different people talking about something and there's accusation is flying wildly between people, and you go to the Bible promises and you get righteousness, that means the Lord's with you. Here, the Lord is with you. The fear of the wicked will come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. A good man obtains favor of the Lord, but the man of wicked devices will he condemn. The Lord is his sun and his shield, and the Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. So that's righteousness. Salvation is again about the work of salvation for souls, the work of contending for souls. That could have to do with a Simon's cross, or salvation could have to do with you're praying for a loved one and you're asking the Lord the status, you know, of their hearts as far as being converted, and you get salvation. That just can be a scripture that, or a page that points you to the fact that there's grace being exerted here to help a soul to be saved, to bring them in. Seeking God, I get that one when the Lord wants me to put everything down, go into prayer. Seek the Lord. It's good for them to wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. And you seek the Lord your God and you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. And the hand of our God is upon all of them that seek him. But his power and his wrath against all them that forsake him. So seeking God is beautiful because it's a call to deeper prayer and more commitment to prayer. Self-denial, no magnum bars, Claire. Pass up the magnum bars. that's one place it could be. Or Ezekiel and I are talking about watching a movie and he gets self-denial and we know, nope, we can't do that tonight. That's not on the Lord's agenda for tonight. So self-denial is pretty much an outright tap to say, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. Remember that one? Okay. Self-righteousness is a yucky one. There's a generation that's pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. Oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. The way of the fool is right in his own eyes. This is just as bad as pride. But he that hearkens unto wise counsel, he who hearkens unto counsel is wise. You say, because I'm innocent, surely his anger shall be turned from me. Behold, I will plead with thee, because thou sayest, I have not sinned. Basically, you think you're without sin? You better look again. This is a serious one. If you get self-righteousness, I'd stop dead in my tracks and say, okay, my thinking has gone the wrong way here. I'm just as guilty as the next man. I don't need to be trying to cover up my stuff. Sexual sins. This one is a A lot of times this has to do with compulsiveness, obsessive compulsive behavior. There's no temptation that's taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Yep, this one's important. This can be even about ministry. And let's say that someone has made a remark and you want to correct them real bad. And yeah, part of you has a check in your spirit because you're thinking, you know, I don't know if this is going to do any good. It's going to be a waste of time, a waste of energy, and they're not going to listen anyway. So part of you is saying that to yourself. Another part is saying, no, this person needs to be corrected. So you go to the Bible promises as a tiebreaker. And you open to, there's no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able. So the answer to that is no, you do not need to do a rebuttal to that remark. You need to leave it alone, because there's a knee-jerk reaction to defend yourself or to tell people the way it really is. And the Lord's saying here, no, that's not necessary. And, you know, this, I have a little bit of a compulsive side, I'll tell you, a temper. If someone really, really, really offends my motherly sensibilities, I can get really angry and want to go and deal with them. And many times when I've had that frame of mind, the Lord has given me, there's no temptation that's taken you, but it's all common to man. And that the Lord was tempted in every way, but didn't sin. And then I know that I need to just lay down with it. This is not something I need to pursue. The other meaning to this, sexual sins, could also be addictions. Drug addiction, addiction to lying, any kind of compulsive, addictive behavior could be under sexual sins, if you get that. It could be referring to that. And then, of course, obviously, fornication or anything else, you know, you would open to sexual sins. But we have found that 9 times out of 10, for us, it refers to compulsive behavior and knee-jerk reactions. Okay, shame. I never know how to take this one. Whoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. And hope is not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad into our hearts by Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And though we suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. There's some beautiful promises in under shame. Sickness, this again we've seen has to do with compulsive behavior and a need to know or a need to do or a need to be, just a need that drives a person. Obsessive compulsive behavior, or it could be physical sickness. Sometimes if we ask the Lord, you know what's going on here, there's an illness, physical illness, and he'll give us sickness and how to pray for the person. But sometimes sickness means there's a sickness of the mind. The mind is not level and is not understanding life properly, is not coping properly. So it can also mean that. Okay, we're almost done here. Sin, freedom from sin. When I get that, I know right away I've sinned. You know, if I was wondering, did I overdo it? here or there, and I get sin, freedom from sin, I'll know that, yep, you overdid it, and I'll have to repent. Sin, redemption from, same thing. The Lord's letting me know that I fell. Slander and reproach. That's when people are gossiping about us. And they're saying things, you know, saying things about our ministry. And calling us false prophets and putting us down. Or taking our words and twisting them to say what they want them to say. And it basically means that we're being spoken against. Slander and reproach. In which case the Lord is calling for prayer and forgiveness. To pray for them and to forgive them. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So, slander and reproach is usually about that. Success, wonderful reading. By humility and fear of the Lord are riches and honor in life. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth, and hath given him the power to eat, and to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor, this is a gift of God. So for us, success is a wonderful, wonderful thing. It means that what we're working on is going to work good, and it's going to bear fruit. That's a wonderful one. Success also means stay at it. You're going to have success. Just keep working at it. You're going to bring forth fruit in its season. Whatever you do will prosper. A beautiful one. Trust. We don't get this one very often, but when we do, it's about letting go of our fears and knowing that God's going to handle it, that he's got it in his control. Absolutely. The Lord is a sun and a shield, and he'll give grace and glory, and no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Oh, this is about my favorite scripture. And lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. So when we get this scripture, it means just go with the Lord. Go with him and trust him. Wisdom. We don't get this one very often either. That if we get wisdom, I think we'd probably think of it just that the Lord wants us to seek his wisdom and that we need to ask. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, in that verse in James. Okay, we're in the W's. Word of God. I get that sometimes when I'm teaching, and I ask the Lord if I'm approaching this the right way. Is this a message you wanted to get across, Lord? I'll get the Word of God, and that'll be a beautiful confirmation that it is. Blessed is he that reads, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. So, that's a good one. Work. That's always a good admonition to get busy. Be strong, therefore, and let not your hands become weak, for your work shall be rewarded. Work is a very, very encouraging reading. Worry, be careful to worry for nothing, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Stop worrying. Trust the Lord. He's our refuge and a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth be moved and though mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. The song that I wrote in the storm, it was very much like that, that the Lord would be with us in the storm. When the mountains shake the seas, then you'll come to rescue me. Okay, so that's worry, and the last one is worship. When we get that, we go into worship, and we don't get it too often. It's the back of the book. And that's basically it. That's pretty much all of the readings and how they apply to our everyday life and the Bible promises. I know this is a long teaching, but I really did feel quickened in my spirit by Holy Spirit to share this with you. So you could really make this little book and the scriptures that are in it a very familiar tool to you to see just exactly how we work with this tool and how the Lord works with us with this tool. So the Lord bless you and give you understanding and help you to comprehend His perfect will. And of course, along with that, to give us all the grace to obey. Amen.